Well, good morning. Boker Tov in Hebrew, good morning. So glad you're with us this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to the house of God, joined with the saints, God's people, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And there's nowhere I would rather be, I guess, other than heaven, than with you guys this morning, looking at God's Word. Back in the 1950s, there was a researcher, his name was Dr. Richter, if I remember right, who was at Johns Hopkins University, and he did some very famous studies with rats, and would not be very popular with the PETA people, the people for the ethical treatment of animals, or whatever they call it, but a lot of rats drowned. And he did this experiment. It was a very interesting experiment, and it's been cited hundreds of times since then. But he took rats, and he put them in a container, and he filled it with enough water so that they couldn't touch bottom, and the sides were such that they couldn't get a grip on the side to be able to get out. And so they swam. And he did this hundreds and hundreds of times, lots of rats drowned. But what he did is he began to take the rats, he observed them to see about how long they could swim, and he noticed how they were getting fatigued in the water. And so what he did begin to do, with half of them, he let them drown, and with the other half, at that split second before they were about to go under and drown, he grabbed them by the tail and pulled them out. And he left them out for a few minutes, and then he put them back in as they swim. An interesting thing happened. Those rats who he just put in the water and didn't rescue could swim for just a little while. But the rats that he pulled out and set aside for a moment and then put back in, guess what? They could swim, some of them, for 60 hours before they drowned. Now the reason for that, it was determined, is that those rats had developed a sense of hope. That their rescuer was coming, that they'd have a respite from this, that the end was not imminent, and they wouldn't, in fact, drown. And I think that's a great lesson for us today. We have a great hope in Christ, in the cross, in the empty grave of Christ. And so my question for you this morning, and I hope by the time we get through it looking at this passage of 1 Peter here, that you'll know the joy and you'll know the hope that Peter writes about here. It's the same hope that Paul wrote about. It's the same hope that John the Baptist wrote about and spoke about and gave his life for. It's the same joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. It's what we just sang about. It's a peace that the world cannot give you, the world cannot take it away, the world doesn't understand this peace that we have. And my question for you this morning, do you know this hope? Do you know this joy, this peace that passes all understanding? That's why we gather together in this church and in houses of worship all around the world. It's because of this peace. We know it. I pray that every one of you here this morning already walking in this door knows this peace and this hope, this great joy. And if you don't, would you open your hearts? Would you pray even now as I'm rambling on that God would unveil your eyes and your heart to hear the truth? That this gospel, this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ would come rushing into your heart this morning. Would you pray that? And you watch as you move toward God, He'll move toward you. Draw near to the Lord, James 4 tells us, and He'll draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning in your name, and only in your name, and only because of you. God, do we have breath this morning? Only because of you, God, and your mercy did we awaken this morning. Does our heart beat this morning. God, only because of you and the work of your Spirit can we even open our mouths and sing about you this morning. And sing to you and worship you, God, because on our own, apart from you, we're nothing. We're sinners. We're dead in our sin. We're dead in our trespasses. But you and your great mercy, your amazing grace, made a way for us to be awakened spiritually, to become your children, to have forgiveness of our sins, and to know this peace and this joy that Peter writes about. God, help us to know that. Help us to walk in this peace in your presence, moment by moment, and to make you known with our words and with our deeds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you look in 1 Peter, I just want us to kind of walk through these verses. I'm reading, not out of the NIV this morning, but out of the ESV. It's similar in most places. It's a good, solid translation. But if you look in verse 3, Peter says this. He says, "Blessed, praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he does an amazing thing here in this third verse of this passage. What he does is eulogize God. When you think of a eulogy, what do you normally think of? What do you think of? Anybody? A funeral, usually, where people get up and they say good words about whoever's in the casket. The word literally means, blessed, literally means to speak a good word about. The Greek word there is eulogetos. Eulogetos. If I wrote it out, you could see. Wow, that's eulogy right there. This is where we get the word eulogy from. Peter here in the very first, third verse of his passage is eulogizing God. And it's very strong language. He's saying, praise God. And it's like his mouth is getting ahead of what he's about to speak, because why is he blessing God? Why is he speaking good words about God for all of these verses that follow? And we're going to look at them one by one. And for Peter, and for his readers, hopefully for you, when you consider that you're born again, when you consider that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, when you consider that you have an inheritance in heaven that's being kept for you, that you are being kept for that inheritance, hopefully your heart will erupt like Peter's heart erupted. And it just gushes. It just overflows. The language here is so beautiful in the Greek. And all he can do is praise God. And that's what he's doing right out of the gate here in verse 3. He's saying, Father, I praise you. Why? Because of the salvation. Because I was dead and now I'm alive. Is that you this morning? When you woke up this morning, the first thing that came to your mind is, I'm alive. Thank you, God. I'm alive. We're either alive here, or we're alive with the Lord. For those of us who are believers, we sang a song that the world wouldn't understand about death. How can we as Christians sing about death with a smile on our face and with the peace and the joy of the Lord in our hearts and sing about dying? Because we have this peace. Because we have this hope. Does your heart overflow with joy like Peter's does? Is it just like a volcano? Is it just erupt? Why? Because you can't keep it in. When you're so full of the joy of the Lord and you have such a proper understanding of His great gift to you, you can't help but sing about it. You can't help but tell your friends about it, but tell the world about that. You can't keep it in. And I think that's the example that Peter's setting for us here. It seems to me, to us, that maybe this should come at the end. For all of these things, God, thank you, but it comes at the beginning. And I think He's setting the example for the church in all things. First give praise and honor and glory and blessing unto God. Speak well, good words. You like Gaitas about the Lord. Why? According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Interesting word there, according. I think it was the same way in his great mercy. Okay, that's one way to translate it. Another way to translate the Greek word there is according to. And here's what it means. This is just a subtle, nuanced definition of the word. Back in the Great Depression, the one that happened back in the 20s and 30s, John Rockefeller, have you heard of him? He was the richest man probably in all of America, a billionaire. He loved to tip his caddies with dimes. He loved to find poor kids. There were lots of beggars on the street back then because it was the Great Depression. A lot of people were hungry and homeless. And he loved to give dimes to kids on the street. A dime to a kid on the street. You could buy a lot more of the dime then than you can now. But he also loved to have his picture taken giving dimes to kids. Why? To bring glory to himself. Look how good I am. But here's what this word means in the Greek. According to his great mercy is how my translation reads. And I think that's an accurate translation. It doesn't mean giving. John Rockefeller was giving a dime out of his riches. A portion of his riches. But if Subi wrote to John Rockefeller, or wrote to Bill Gates today, Ministry Friday night, by the way, and said, "Hi, my name is Subi, and my family's homeless, and can you help us out?" And if Bill Gates sent you a $20 bill and said, "Go buy some Happy Meals," okay, and good luck, by the way, he's giving you out of his riches, a portion of his riches. But this is not what Peter's talking about here. Giving according to his great mercy. The word means in proportion to. If John Rockefeller or Bill Gates really wanted to help Subi's family, when he got this letter, "Subi, I need help, I'm homeless, my family, blah, 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 blah." And then all of a sudden, a couple of days, there's a knock at your door, and there's a man in a limousine, and he bears a scroll, and he says, "I'm an emissary of Bill Gates, and he has heard your request, and he's had mercy on you, and let me take you to Highland Road, where there are 100 acres that he's purchased for you, and a home for you and all of your family. And he's paid utilities for the rest of your lives. And he's given you an endless Walmart card so that you never have empty refrigerator or empty cupboards and a car and all the gas you could ever drive out." That's giving in proportion to. Do you get the difference there? Huge difference. This is big. This is big. God, and God is infinite. Mercy and grace gives what? Eternal life. Never-ending life with Him in heaven in proportion to. It's a big difference. Don't miss that. God just doesn't throw you a bone and wish you well. He adopts you into His family. He provides a home for you according to His grace. Mercy. Big stuff. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. If you're here this morning, we talked about this a little bit Friday night in our Bible study, but if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, you've done nothing on your own to do that. You realize that? You don't just wake up one day, a sinner, and decide, "I'm going to follow Christ." Let me tell you what happens. First, God begins to work in your heart. Scripture teaches this very, very clearly. We're saved by grace through faith. If you want to flip over to Ephesians, you can. Chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And then there's a period, but then it says this, "And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, it's because God has given you the gift of faith. And that's an amazing thing. I became a Christian when I was 17. Was it perfect afterwards? Certainly wasn't perfect before that. But one day, God began to work in my heart. Scripture teaches that before we're Christians, we're enemies of God. We are God haters. You don't even have the ability to love God before He begins to work in your heart. This is so important to understand, lest we pat ourselves on the back and think that we've done something in our salvation. God begins to draw you to Himself. And He did that for me when I was 17. And then what happens? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing how? Through the Word of God. And then God begins this work in your heart, a gift of faith. And then you encounter the gospel. Maybe in church, maybe on TV, maybe a friend. Somebody shares the gospel with you. And because God has begun a work in your heart, you're able to say, yes, Jesus, I want this great salvation. God, thank you for making a way. And you're adopted into the family of God. But it's all God, not you. This is the amazing thing about grace. This is why so many songs are written about grace, because it's nothing that you can do, but it's according to His infinite, eternal grace and mercy that you are born again. That should humble you. For some people, it has the opposite effect. It makes them very proud that they've been chosen by God. Wrong. It humbles me, God, that you would call me your own, that you would draw me to yourself. You know that this morning? That your salvation is not of your own doing. It's the doing of an infinite, eternal, merciful, graceful, grace-filled God who loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. That if you'll believe, you'll have eternal life. John 3:16. Eternal life. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus was still in the grave, guys, there'd be nothing to sing about this morning. The Jews are still waiting for their Messiah to come. I got to meet lots of them in Israel. One of our guides was Jewish, and she thought Jesus was a nice guy and a prophet, but not Lord. Because He's been resurrected from the dead, we have hope this morning. The root, the foundation of your peace and your joy this morning is in Christ. It's in an empty grave. It's like we stand here this morning looking to heaven and singing praises to God, standing in the empty grave of Christ. If this grave was not empty, woe be to us, because our hope and our faith is based on nothing. Because He's resurrected. This is the foundation of your faith. A resurrected Savior. Look in verse 4. To an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. An inheritance. What's an inheritance? What, you get an inheritance maybe, usually, when somebody dies and leaves you a house or some money in their will. Maybe some people get their inheritance like the prodigal son did before his dad died. But it's a portion that's usually given to heirs by virtue of birth or just a special gift. It's property that can already be received or received after somebody dies. But it's an imperishable, undefiled, unfading inheritance. That word imperishable means it won't corrupt. It'll never pass away. Another translation is it's immortal. Your inheritance, your eternal life, is that not enough that we would live forever in the presence of God? But Jesus says in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, many mansions. This is your inheritance. We can't even imagine. No ear has heard, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard what God has in store for those who love Him and are called His own. This is your inheritance. It'll never pass away. It's undefiled. It's without contamination, without stain, untainted, pure, Perfect. Your inheritance that you'll receive in this world, maybe it's a house that your parents will leave you after they've died. One day, it will turn to dust. It's tainted. It's broken. It's not perfect. This too shall pass. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's unfading. It's glory. It's beauty, which is found in God. Your inheritance will never fade. Everything here in this world tarnishes and fades and rots and goes away, but not the inheritance that you have in Christ. Look back up just for a second. I forgot to mention, we're born again to a living hope. A living hope. Not a dead hope. Most of Louisiana and lots of other Saints fans around the world had hope for, 40 years that the Saints would go to the Super Bowl. That they would just have a winning season, much less go to the Super Bowl, but this too shall pass. It may be the only time that it'll ever happen in our lifetimes. But a living hope. Listen, a living hope. For the world, for most of the world, time causes hopes to fade. But for the Christian, the passing of time only makes our hope and our joy and our peace more imminent, more glorious. Because listen, we're a day closer right now to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ than we were yesterday. We're that much closer than we were. So my heart quickens the older I get. The more days that pass by, there are lots of days when I'll turn the news on and some horror has happened around the world and I say, Lord Jesus, come now and rescue us out of this place. This hell that the world is because of sin. But does your hope grow sweeter day by day? It should. The world's hope fades with the passing of time. Yours grows brighter and brighter and brighter, or it should. That's what Peter's teaching about here. Your hope should grow brighter and sweeter with each passing day. Peter was called the apostle of hope. Our hope, a living hope, is not static. It's not dead. It doesn't stay put. It's active. It's vigorous. It expresses itself in the hearts, minds, and actions of believers. If you're living a Christian life that you're called to live, that Christ called you to live, and me to live, that hope is going to be really evident to the world. They're going to see it all over you. They're going to hear it in your voice. They're going to see it when you forgive and pray for those who persecute you and ridicule you, when you try to share your faith with them. When you get that call from the doctor, that diagnosis that you have cancer, or that somebody's been killed in a car wreck, and instead of cursing God, you're able to praise Him and say, Lord, You're sovereign even in this. Like Job did. You remember the story of Job? He lost everything. All his kids. All his servants. All his homes. All his livestock. A rich man. Lost it all. But what did his wife say? Curse God and die. And what did he say? I think these are the sweetest prayers in the world. Job lost everything. And I can just see him on his back, weeping and raising his hands to heaven. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Later on in Job, he says, yea, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. That's a sweet prayer. I think when God hears prayers like that, He leans over the portals of heaven and points to it and says, gold. We're going to look about refining trials in a moment, how it's like metal being purified, like gold being purified. That's got to be sweet to the ears of God. When His saints in the midst of trial and loss and adversity praise His name, that's a living hope. That's a hope that's not dead at all. Biblical hope is not finger crossing. This has been, I love how this has been said. But it's alive and certain because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. Whereas life in Christ is an endless hope. Paul defines hope for us in 1 Timothy 1, 1. Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Genuine biblical hope isn't a concept. It's not somebody just something that somebody just talks about. It's a person. Christ. He is our hope. I pray that He's your hope this morning. Back to verse 4. To an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. That word kept there is the Greek word means a guard or a warden in a prison. And it's a picture of God guarding your inheritance. Keeping watch over your inheritance. Does that bring you peace this morning? I hope that it does. This is a hope that we have in Christ. It's a joy that's awaiting us. It's here, but it's going to be even brighter in heaven. Infinitely more joyful in heaven than we are now. Why? Because God Himself is guarding that hope. He's keeping that inheritance for us. Who, in verse 5, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's amazing. Who, by God's power? This is the word dunamis in Greek. It's where we get the word dynamite from. It means a power that comes from within. This is the achieving power of God. His own power. He's keeping our inheritance, okay, for us, but He's keeping us. Right there in verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded. The word here for guarded comes from the word sentinel. Alright? A guard who's been placed to keep watch over something. Keep staring at something. To watch intently. That's God watching over you. If you're a Christian this morning, you cannot lose your faith. If you're truly a child of God, you're not going to have anything snatch you out of the hands of an infinitely strong and grace-filled God. Why? Because He's keeping you. He's guarding you. Until the very end. When? What is the last time that's mentioned here? Revealed at the last time? The return of Christ is what Peter's speaking about here. The second coming of our Lord. He will come back. He promises that He'll come back. Scripture prophesies that He'll come back. He will return. And God promises to give us exactly what we need until that day. And then our bodies will be glorified. They'll be perfected in His presence. No more sin. No more suffering. Look in verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, that you have been grieved by various trials. I love this. In this you rejoice. How does it read? In this you greatly rejoice. Okay, very similar translation. The Greek word here for rejoice is an amazing word. It doesn't mean be happy. It means be greatly happy. It literally means to jump for joy. To jump much. To leap much. It's what the word means. Do you see the word picture here that Peter's painting? If you were so happy in the Lord because of this great salvation, you will jump and you will shout. You will skip like a school child with joy because you're so happy. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. We've talked about suffering before. I'm sure Pastor Chen and Pastor Johnny have talked about suffering for a while. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Suffering will come. Trials will come. Why? For the testing of your faith. For the working of endurance and perseverance in your faith. God will allow things to happen to us. That your faith may be tried and perfected. There's nothing like going through some personal tragedy or trial. And the only place you have to run to is God. And when you come out on the other side of that, how much stronger is your faith? Has anybody been through anything like that before? You don't have to share it. Just raise your hand. Where you've been through something horrible. And the only place that you've been able to flee to is Christ. And you come out of it with faith that's refined by fire. been grieved by various trials. Why? Verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Vance Havner says it takes the grindstone to sharpen the axe. Another writer said fiery trials make golden Christians. A Puritan, Thomas Brooks, said this: stars shine brightest in the darkest night. A faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. God will allow trials to come our way. He knows the outcome, but it's for you, that you may see what your faith is truly made of. So when they come, whether it's now or 30 years from now, those trials come, you cling to Christ, to the sovereignty of God, and you pass through that fire purified, your faith having been tested. When all else fails and falls away, Christ remains, and He is faithful. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen Him, that means even caught a glimpse of Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Have you guys ever heard of Michael Hart? He's a Christian songwriter and singer. He's got beautiful music. He wrote El Shaddai, if you've heard that song before, 25 years ago now, probably. Some words in one of his songs says this: to hear with my heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand that I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. The word here for love is agape love. Sacrificial, selfless love. Do you have that kind of love for God, or do you only love Him when He does things for you? Do you love Him when things don't go your way, or do you love Him when you get something unexpected and you credit it to Him? Agape love. Though you do not now see Him. This implies that we will see Him. And we will. Face to face, we'll see Christ as He is. John 20:29 says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. It's easy to believe if you're one of Jesus' disciples. You've walked around with Him. You've seen Him heal. You've had dinner with Him. You've seen Him crucified, and you've seen the empty grave. That's easy to believe. But blessed are those. Blessed are you and me who have believed and not seen. Rejoice. You believe in Him and rejoice with joy. Same word for rejoice. Leaping, shouting, excited, with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. This is the type of joy that is beyond words. It's the kind of joy that some Christians have who are new believers, and they can't even explain to you what's happened to them. They can't even put words to it. Spurgeon said this in talking about joy that's unspeakable, inexpressible, and full of glory. He said, why is the joy of the Christian so unspeakable and full of glory? I think it is because it is so altogether divine. It is God's own joy. It is Christ's own joy. You see, to the world, what does joy mean? Winning the Super Bowl? Getting an A in calculus, getting an A in physics, getting a big house, winning the lottery, that's joy. No, when you have God's joy, Christ's joy, it's unspeakable joy. You can't even describe it. And it's filled with glory. It's the same kind of joy that Moses felt when he came down off the mountain. You remember the story? He had to veil his face. His face shone like an angel. It's the kind of joy that Stephen, when he was stoned, says his face shone like an angel. It's that kind of joy. You can't even describe it. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of God Himself. Verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. These are glorious words from Peter on joy and hope. Do you know this joy this morning? If when you think about being happy and joyous and hopeful, what you think about are your own accomplishments, stuff that you have, maybe a career path that you're on, and you're heading over a cliff spiritually. Listen to me. But if you think of joy, when you think of joy, the first thing that comes to your mind is Christ. The first thing that comes to your mind is eternity in heaven. Then you know what Peter's talking about here. If you don't know that this morning, listen, you can. This is the great news. This is the gospel. Also called the good news. This is why we evangelize. It means the good news. The good news is only good if it gets there in time. Because you're here this morning. You're alive. You have breath. If you don't know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never had your sins forgiven by God and placed your faith in Christ, and you don't know this hope, you can know this today. If you want to, God's been going to work in your heart, and you're like, Todd, I don't know. I don't have a clue about this joy. The only joy that I have is in my stuff, or my family, or school, or my career. I want this joy. Then would you cry out to God today, and He will meet you. There's no magical prayer that you pray. You just have to recognize that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What we get in return for that sin? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We're all going to die, but we're all built for eternity. Our spirits will live forever, either in the presence of God, joy, hope, peace, never ending, or in a place called hell. God did not create you to send you to hell. He created hell for Satan and for his angels. God's heart, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love toward you in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Put yourself in that verse. God demonstrates His own love for me. How? In this. While I was still a sinner, a God-hater, 16 years old, then I turned 17, Christ died for me. He died for you. The sinless Son of God lived a perfect life and died at the hands of wicked men. Why? So that by the shedding of His blood, you could have forgiveness. He was buried and He was resurrected. This is what we celebrate on Easter. The empty tomb. The resurrection of Christ. If you don't know this joy today, in your own way, you can pray to God. You say, God, I'm a sinner. I recognize that my sin separates me from You, but I want joy. I want this peace that's everlasting. Would You forgive me? Would You have mercy on me, God, in Your infinite grace? Would You just look on me and awaken me spiritually and save me, and I'll place my faith in You, and I won't live a perfect life, God, but if with Your power, with Your help, I'll live a life that's pleasing to You. If you'll pray just a prayer of something like that and cry out to God in your own way, it doesn't have to be here at church, it could be driving home today. God will meet you. He will hear you, and He will save you. And you will be His child. And you can know when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, when you go to sleep, that you're a child of the King. Without any doubt. I know with absolute certainty that if I get hit by a truck on the interstate and die before I make it back to my house today, that I will instantly be with God in heaven forever with Him. That's a great peace. I didn't know that. My heart used to be torn up about that, not knowing what would happen to me if I died. And then somebody shared the gospel with me. My eyes were open. God's grace rushed in. I was saved. It's the happiest thing in the world. That's joy. That's peace. That's hope that you can cling to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being here in our midst today. Lord, thank you for your word that is true. And thank you, God, that while we still have breath in our nostrils, Lord, we can still cry out to you. It's only too late once we've died. Father, your word says that today, behold, today is the day of salvation. And God, I just lift up anybody that's in this room, Father, that doesn't know this peace, that doesn't know this Christ, that doesn't have your joy. God, I pray that they would cry out to you today for mercy and receive your love, Lord. Nothing that they can do on their own. It's because you're so good, so loving, and so merciful, Lord. So we pray for the souls of those who don't know you. God, I pray that they would cry out today and be saved. Repent and be saved. And Father, for those of us who are your children, who are here this morning, God, when we leave this place and for the rest of our days, Father, might our faces reflect your glory, reflect the joy that we cling to, that we claim, the hope and the peace, Father, may it draw other people to you. When they see our joy that can't be contained, can't be described, it's glorious, Father. May it create in them an appetite and a hunger for forgiveness and for righteousness that comes only through you. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
hear today Paul's message, let's bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you we can come together to worship you, and thank you the celebration Chinese New Year yesterday in LSU, and we do appreciate the Todd, he can leading our youth every Friday, and also today message. We really thank you him, and God, that that you continue to leading our children to learn more about Jesus, have a good character in their life, and we want all the people to know you. Without you, we are nothing. God, that the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hand. Yes, that establish of the work of our hand. Thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome everyone to our Sunday worship, and also thank Pastor Todd for a wonderful message. It's the first time you come to worship with us. Would you please stand up and introduce yourself? If you are first time. Yeah, I think Cheng Hong, can you stand up? 介绍一下你自己, introduce yourself.
My name is Cheng Hong. I'm from China.
Okay, welcome Cheng Hong. Please be seated, and we hope you can come and again, and he was in my Sunday school class. He just got here less than 2 weeks. Just a few quick announcements. Let's keep some prayer requests. Let's keep pray for Pastor Tao's mother, and she's still waiting for the second office. Pray for peace and good. Also, another prayer request. You know, Sister Carol in Singapore, she broke her arm, left arm and wrist. So they are still doing additional examination by X-ray and MRI. Keep sending their in your prayers, and they are returning to us on March 3rd as planned. So please keep them in your prayer. We're going to miss them. We had a wonderful couple fellowship yesterday, and we really missed Les and Carol. So hopefully they will join us soon. And also, I think Charlene's aunt, and please remember her in your prayer too. And she's going through a cancer treatment. A board meeting at 1, so Sister Hui Min will be at the meeting. I think we will have a Sunday school teacher's training Saturday. There will be an English Sunday school teacher training this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock to 11:13. So all the Sunday school teachers are encouraged to come. We have done twice. This is the third training session. And I promise you will learn a lot as I did. So it was a very good one. And also, no Bible study is coming Friday, since it's the last Sunday of this month. Okay. For Sunday, the co-workers, I think Brother Philip will be leading a call to worship, and I will send out the reminder for the co-workers list when it's coming Sunday. Okay. Let's rise and receive God's blessing. Let's bow our head. Our Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing to be able to come and worship you and gather in your name. We pray you'll be with each one of us every day, strengthen us and walk with you every day. Help us to be drawn closer to you every day. Help us to become holy, to be more like Christ. May the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the love of God, our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you every day until the second coming of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing the doxology.
对，还没你们贵呢。 锅贵，锅一套贵啊，锅再便宜也要45-50块，对啊。